Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this March 23rd, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by one of our favorite people, Jackie Carantini, UW Extension Zone. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. How you been?
Thank you. I'm well.
Good, good. Jackie, I don't like to waste a second when you come into the studio. You always have great stuff for us. We always learn and grow and find out about great things going on in our community. Where do you want to go with the conversation today?
We're going to talk about end-of-life planning.
Okay.
Oh, da-dun-dun.
No. Yeah, right. Oh, a light topic. Oh,
right? We'll be offering, we have a series that we've done. I did a couple times last year, but we'll be offering it in April at Macmillan Library. And it's called Planning Ahead. And it's a new curriculum that Extension actually was part of piloting and we wrote because we have found that research tells us most adults don't have, you know, they kind of have an idea, but either they haven't talked about it, they haven't followed through, they really haven't taken steps on a lot of different things. So this curriculum takes into a lot of different pieces. So we talk about really heavy stuff like grief. We talk about financial components. We talk about advanced directives, both medical and financial. We talk about your estate and actually doing estate planning. All of this is based very specifically for the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So most folks don't realize that the laws are different from state to state. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're a snowbird or you have a house, up in the UP in the summer, that kind of thing, got to check with that state because not everything transfers. So it's good to know what our laws here are in Wisconsin and making sure that everything is followed to a T. One of the ones I talk about quite a bit is specifically relating to advanced directives. And I think this came up, and you and I might have talked about this before, but specifically during COVID, this was an issue because Wisconsin is not a next of kin state.
Yeah.
And I'll say that again. Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. And what that means is, in most states in the country, if something happens to you, so let's say I'm driving home tonight and I get in a car accident and I end up in the hospital, in most states, the family would be the one to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. In the state of Wisconsin, that's not the case. So if you have the forms filled out, if you have your advanced directive forms filled out, then yes, it'll follow what's in there. If not, it is up to the medical team to make the decisions. Now, with that said, before we get a lot of nasty calls from healthcare providers, most of the healthcare systems will tell you that they will consult with the family. They'll do their best to consult with the family. But legally, it is up to the medical team. And so that's why I'm sure almost every single person listening has been, if you've been to the doctor in the last year at all, any of them, doesn't make a difference if you're going, for a regular checkup or if you're going to, a specialist, they're going to say to you, have you filled out your advanced directives? It's the first thing they ask when you check in. And a lot of times we're like, oh, no. Fill it out. It's really important. Yeah. Fill it out.
Yes.
And so especially if you're someone that has pretty strong feelings about, being a things like put on a respirator. If your lungs aren't functioning for themselves, do you want a respirator to breathe for you? Do you want to, if you go into cardiac issues, do you want to be hooked up, for echo, different things? If you're unable to eat, do you want to be tube fed? Mm-hmm. Right? So all of these different, and a lot of times, especially in working with families, they're like, oh, we're not going to talk about that. And if you don't have concerns, then it really isn't a big deal. But like I said, what we saw during COVID, there were a lot of families that were really upset when they were put on, different pieces to help them breathe or different machines. And, they didn't talk to, they didn't talk to his wife or they didn't talk to, the kids. Well, they didn't have to. They were making the most of their medical decisions and what they thought was the best course of action. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that makes us kind of unique in Wisconsin is that we do have that little law. And so it is important to have these conversations. Just as I said, some folks really don't care. And they're like, oh, whatever, I'll be gone. Someone else handle it. There are other things that people are very, very, very passionate about. And not just with healthcare, but even like after they're gone. Yeah. I might have told you this before, but in my family, my stepmom has passed away from breast cancer. But while we were over the process, you know, we had some time because she lived 5 years after her diagnosis till the time that she passed. So, but it was one of those where we knew it was coming because they had told her it was inevitable. And so we did have conversations over the course of time. And when it came time to talking about how she wanted to be buried or cremated or where she wanted, she was like very strong, very passionate about her, what her wishes were. And it had stemmed from other things that had happened in her life and where she wanted to be and all that stuff. And she didn't want a funeral. She didn't want people looking at her. She said, if they didn't talk to me in my, you know, in my real life, I don't, why would they want to come and gawk at me when I'm gone? You know,
sounds like my kind of lady.
Right. Yeah. You know, but very passionate about it. Yeah. It was very strong. And then there's other people that are like, well, I'm gone, you know, whatever. I don't want anything. And I just worked with a family that said that said, well, I don't want anything. And it was like, well, you still have a family that's going to be grieving and they need something. So what is the best for the ones that are left behind, right? But these are conversations we don't always have. So it's really important. And so this curriculum, we walk you through, it's long. There are 7 different modules, so it's 7 different sessions. But you get a lovely book, real thick book, that has all the materials in it, links you to all the legal forms in the state of Wisconsin. But just kind of, it's almost like a workbook to say, oh, you know, if you want to talk about this with your family at Easter, let's have this conversation, you know. And I recently was on a road trip with my family and I said, hey, you know, just as long as we, you know, we're sitting here, we have an hour to talk, let's have a conversation about this. Let's talk about, you know, what would you want? What do you want to be, you know, would you want to be kept alive? You know, or, you know, what are your limitations on that? You know, and it's interesting because you think you know what someone's going to say.
Yeah.
And you don't. Mm-hmm. You really don't. You've probably heard me say before, I love to use the analogy of we all have our own coffee filter. Yeah. And every experience that we've had in our life forms our coffee filter. So what we say and what we hear and what we see goes through our own individual coffee filter of our life's experiences. And because of that, when we say things, and I think this is especially for a lot of our older generation, when I say the word, you know, things like long-term care or nursing home, and you'll see them tense up and claws almost come out, you know, they have a visceral response to the term nursing home, right? Yeah. Because of something they experienced 50, 60, 70 years ago when they were a small child and they saw what had happened with their family at that time or how a loved one, you know, was cared for at that time. Boy, things have changed in 50, 60, 70 years, right? But that experience went into their coffee filter. So something as simple as me even saying the words nursing home can get a visceral response, right? Yeah. So these are things, and we don't know that until we ask that. We don't know that until we have these conversations. So that's another whole session in this, is really just even how to start conversations, who to include, you know, again, where do you file it? So the thing I love about this particular curriculum as a whole is because, like I said, you get a book. And so you can work through it by yourself. And then if you want to, you know, bring in your significant other, or, you know, then you can talk to them. And then if you decide you want to talk to your children or your loved ones or your friends or people at church, it doesn't make a difference. But it's this kind of go as you're on your own pace kind of thing. And that's okay. Yeah. This is not something you have to, yep, you're right. Every time you go to the doctor, they're going to ask you if you have your advance directive. Is your power of attorney for healthcare filled out? They will. And that's important. But it really is do at your own pace.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about things like our own, you know, mortality, it's, you know, it's sensitive.
Yeah.
We all react differently.
When it comes to that, Jackie, and first off, thank you so much for sharing all of that. Drew, appreciate it and everything. You are so dang good at this job. When it comes to just the topic itself, walking into it, bringing it up, I think of a lot of different conversations that I've had, with, especially in the last couple of years, with family members and friends about death in particular, and how just the subject of death that we treat with such kid gloves, and we use it in a hushed voice and stuff. And there's a lot of things in our society we're getting better about not talking in that hushed voice about anymore, that we're being bolder with and everything. This feels like the last taboo. This feels like the last one that there's others that I'm not thinking of or that we haven't touched on as a society yet, but I feel like the big ones go, this is the last one where we've got we all are born, we all die, we don't get to choose either of these. And it's something that is... death has already been normalized. Life did that.
Right.
But us talking about death has not been normalized. And I think that goes a long way with this subject, where not only does it help that part of it, but it also helps you get a lot of these things done and, you know, dotting your I's and crossing your T's so you don't got to worry about this stuff. And more, maybe more importantly, your loved ones don't have to worry about these things.
Yeah, so true. So there was some research that was done right before COVID, so 1920. And so probably it's changed a little bit. Like I said, COVID's a wrench in everything. But they had done a study across the United States, and they had asked adults, do you feel it's important to talk about death and end of life? 93% said, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very important. So almost everybody said, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a stab at what percentage had actually taken a step to do so.
Yeah.
Yes.
10, 20%, maybe.
A little bit higher. 30.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's
30.
Good.
So
still,
you know,
low.
Yeah. 92 to 30, right?
Yeah.
So a third of the folks, even though they all thought it was important, only a third had actually taken steps to do so and to have conversations. And you're right. It is inevitable. It's all the time. I do think it's like that old in my generation too, of, you know, we were still kind of at the end of the era where you couldn't say, you know, cancer. You know,
right.
You couldn't say things.
Yes.
You weren't supposed to say things out loud because it would bring it on, right?
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
Or the old wives'
tale. The old wives' tale.
Don't
yeah.
put the shoes on the table because that means death is coming to your family.
Yep.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, hey, but it is that kind of, you know, piece. But it's like, no, no one's getting around this particular one.
Yeah.
And again, if you don't care, you don't care. And I have worked with many folks over the years that they really don't. They're like, oh, you know, whatever's best for my family, that's fine. But even if you're in that boat of whatever's best for your family, the more that you have in line and ready to go, it's going to make it easier for your family. Because I'm sure everyone has had a death in their life. Over the course of their lives, someone in their circle, whether it's family or friends, has passed away. And so you've experienced grief, and grief can be overwhelming. That is a whole nother session we talk about, is grief. But grief, I've had people describe grief as a black hole, you know, that can last weeks, months, years. I've heard people say, you know, depending on who it was in their life, that, you know, they had a 3-year black hole. Like, they literally don't remember anything from, you know, 1978 to 1982. Like, whoop, I don't know what happened during that time.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely no recollection. So it's this idea of, okay, if that's the case and that is how it hits you, and there is no right or wrong with how grief hits, but you are not going to be in your right state of mind to be planning all this stuff and thinking about, oh my gosh, what would they want? Oh, I don't know. You know, and I think there's a range, right? There's this, you could be over here and saying, oh yeah, whatever's best for my family, I really don't care, I'm going to be gone, do whatever, you know, or do what's cheapest, or, you know, whatever's easiest. Or you could be all the way over here and you could be like, okay, I wrote my obituary. These are the songs that I want at my funeral.
Yes, yes.
This is, you know, and okay, these are the flowers. I want these particular flowers.
At 10:05, I want this to happen.
I've already prearranged it with a nursing home. It's already paid for.
Yeah, yeah.
I already have it paid for. Here's the name of the nursing home. It's already taken care of. It's already paid. They already have it all lined up, right? Two total opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're okay. Because again, there's no right or wrong in this. So, but again, I think the important part that we talk about is just taking a step, right? Like all of the stuff, even knowing that it's out there and starting the thought process in your own head, because it is personal. So you have to process it first to even think about, what do I want? What would I want? And it might be over here with totally minimal, really don't care. And it might be, oh yeah, no, I actually have thought about this, and I want, I'll give you creepo thing from myself, just because I've taught this so long. I always told my kids, and I'm young, I'm middle aged, but I'll tell my kids, in my phone there's a list of funeral songs. So if something happens to me, there is a list literally in my notes section in my phone that says funeral songs.
That's awesome.
You know, right? And it's kind of, you know, one of those things. My grandmother, on my mom's side, both my grandparents lived well into their 90s, so 96, 98. Long lives, and they would both told you the last 20 years of their lives. Like, yeah, they had good lives. You know, they. But my grandmother had told me toward the end, I think she probably lived a good 10, 15 years after she told me this. But she said, you know, when I die, I want you to wear red. Mm. Do not wear black. Wear red. Mm. I want you to have fun and celebrate because I had a fantastic life. Right? Mm.
I love that.
Right? And so, but what a great mindset of it doesn't have to be, yep, you're going to be sad that I'm gone, but I want you to celebrate. Right? And those are the things that, yes, I want you to have those conversations with your loved ones. I want you to share those little tidbits and the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Make it okay to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I always say, I've said this for 20 years, you know, holidays, please have conversations when your family is around. And it doesn't have to be, you know, oh, I'm planning my funeral, but it could be, hey, if you have adult children, and when I say adult, I mean over the age of 18.
Yeah.
That advance directive implies. So even when your kids are going off to college, you should ask them because accidents happen. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, would you want to be, you know, blankety blank, and kind of run through the different pieces. If you haven't filled one out and you haven't looked on the state of Wisconsin, it's DHS. You can just put in advance directives, you know, state of Wisconsin or DHS, and it'll come up. They are so user friendly. Like, they are just fan flipping tastic. It's a checklist. Yeah. It literally is a checklist, and it just says, would you like this? Check. Would you like this? Check. So it's super easy. So I encourage folks, you know, when families get together for holidays, so Easter's coming up, families around, just say, hey, you know, pick a question. I don't care what it is. You know, how's everybody feel about cremation? You know, like, would you rather turn it into a game?
Yes, there you
would
go.
Would you rather be cremated or... you know, be buried. Or if so, where would you want to be buried? Or if you were cremated, you know, where would you... Yeah, and just start it. You'll probably have a three-hour conversation on that one question. It doesn't have to be grandma's planning your funeral. It could just be, hey, what would you rather? And it'll go off and have a life of its own, which is fantastic.
I remember, and I think this has happened before with us talking, where I'm sitting with my papa, best driver I've ever known, and he's filling out his insurance papers for driving and stuff, and he's kind of barking under his breath about the amount of how much it costs. And I say to him, well, Papa, you're the best driver I know. Why do you need insurance? And like, it doesn't. He's like, you know, you don't get in accidents. It seems like a waste of money. He's like, Jimmy, I'm not paying for the insurance. I'm paying for the peace of mind. And so much of what we've been talking about today, I feel that. Like, oh, why do I need to worry about this, or I don't want to put the time into this? You're investing that time in yourself, in your family. You're investing that time so that you can have that peace of mind. This is one less thing for you to worry about, so you can go ahead and enjoy your life and sit back and like you should be able to at your age, whatever age you are listening to us out there.
Yeah.
You deserve that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you said earlier about having more conversations, I do think, you know, we live in a great community. So, you know, Aspirus and Marshall Clinic, and they are offering, you know, programs and series. And there is stuff out there. And I think there are more folks that are trying to say, yeah, let's look at our options. You know, oh, what is, you know, what are long-term care options? What are, you know, housing communities, you know, for older adults where you can transition in, you know? And like, if you haven't been to one lately, holy smokes, you should go check it out because they're doing some amazing things. And, you know, it's like a spa, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's some pretty cool stuff going on. It's not what you were thinking of, you know, earlier. Like I said, you know, the nursing home from 1950, it's not the same. So I do encourage folks to, you know, while you can, while you are not in the need, to just start kind of digging in at any of the topics. Just dig in a little bit and see what you can find out. Because that's the other thing that's important is when you're doing it with a clear-headed mind, when it's not particular retaining, you know, pertaining to I'm not responding, right? It's that idea of responding versus reacting kind of thing. So if we're thinking about it with a clear mind and just trying to think about, hey, well, let me learn more. What would I like to know? Hey, this might be what I want versus, oh my gosh, I just got this diagnosis or, I'm not able to move around my house anymore. I think I'm going to have to downsize and find someplace else to live. well, then you're reacting. Then you're going to be looking at it from a different set of, you know, different mindset and different point of view. So
they always say you shouldn't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You know, it's a similar kind of thing. You want to take care of these things when you're in a good state of mind, when you're, you know, in those things, as opposed to the opposite of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, most thing that what we found research tells us is that when someone else in your life goes through it, so if it is a spouse, a child, a grandparent, you know, aunt, uncle, whatever, then you see it from that kind of third party, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, like, note to self, get on that, right? Mm-hmm. Because you do see how it affects the family and the friends and the loved ones. And they're like, oh, yeah, I really should do that, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of that reminder to everybody. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Pick something and just tag at it. So if this is, you know, linking in the back of your head, you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I really should, or I want to know more about any of those topics. Again, these are big stuff. So even when I say we spend, you know, an hour and a half a week on this, it's like I don't even touch the tip of the surface in that time, and we break these apart. But it still is like, yeah, there is so much. And I always tell folks when we start this series of I'm going to plant a seed. All I am doing here is I am planting a seed. Again, I'm giving you this workbook. You're going to go back and you're going to start thinking about it. Maybe by the time we end the 7 weeks, maybe you'll have attempted something, or you'll have a plan, or you'll schedule a meeting, or you had a conversation with your spouse. More than likely, you're not going to make it through it all, because it's a lot. It's big stuff, and it's also heavy stuff. And so you have to do it at your own pace.
And the giving people the ability to have a resource, you know, that you're not having to face this all on your own, or you and your kids don't have to face it all on your own, that you have a resource that is just looking to inform you, just looking to help. There's no, you know, money exchange. There's no other than information. That's the thing that's exchanged here. And somebody like Jackie and the people she works with really help you with that. It's, you know, we nobody picks up a bike and learns to ride right away. You got to have training wheels. That's what this is a chance for you to be able to ease into this topic. And then, you know, maybe even for some, talking with you, Jackie, going to these sessions, doing that might help it make it easier for you to be able to talk about it with your loved ones. It could be a two-pronged kind of attack thing where you don't have to jump into it without that resource that Jackie can give you and that information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the goal, right? Like, I want everybody to just have the tools to start. I think the other thing that came out of what you just said is that we are unbiased. So as I said, we have great resources in our community. We have some fantastic things, but they might likely steer you towards wherever they are or what their materials are, which is great if that pertains to you. But we do it from a little more neutral standpoint of completely unbiased. I'm going to give you a lot of different options and throw different things at you. And our stuff is just based, again, on Wisconsin law.
Yeah.
So I'm not an attorney, but we just direct you to the forms and, you know, help you fill them out. We are currently doing a pilot for this curriculum in Hmong. And we've been working on it for over a year, and we're compiling the data. And one of the things that I was just working on one of the sessions, and it just kept coming up as, oh my gosh, this is just so overwhelming. Like the language and the words and what, you know, you can break it apart word by word. What does this mean? And like, yeah, we can't change that because again, these are legal forms. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is I can give you an example and I can give you a scenario. So every sentence I can stop and say, okay, advanced directive. Yep, advanced directive, really complicated word. But what it really means is, you know, a plan to share your wishes in case you are unable to do so in the need of a medical emergency. And people go, oh, yeah, I get that, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this is. And so I think the other thing that's super important about this particular series, and a lot of our series, but this one especially, is that, and you touched base on this, you're in a group. And guess what? Everyone else is going through the same thing at the same time. So this particular series, when I evaluated the last time I did it here in town with the senior center, one of the things when I said, what was the best part? And they said, part two. And I'm like, part two, like session two, like module two? And they're like, no, like every time part two. And I'm like, I don't know what you mean by part two. Mm. Do you know what it was? After the session was over, everybody just sat and chit-chatted.
That's awesome.
About what it meant to them, right? And what they were working on and how it related to things, you know, either a death in their family or their spouse or something. And it was just like, oh, tangible examples.
Yeah.
So valuable.
Yeah.
And personable. And I think it also makes it a little easier because it's someone else.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said in the beginning, this is really hard because it's deep, heavy stuff and we have to think about it ourselves. But if I can say, oh, look, James, you're going, oh, and you tell me about going through this with your 20-something daughter and, you know, how asking her what her wishes are. And I'm like, oh, I can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what... It just makes it a little bit easier to digest. It's that third-party piece.
Yeah.
It's hard when we're talking about ourselves, but if someone else shares, oh, yeah, I can relate to that. I got it. So that's the other part that makes this good versus doing it by yourself. So
it goes a lot farther than we realize.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody is interested, we haven't started registrations yet, but again, it will be Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1:30 in the afternoon at McMillan Library, and you can call the extension office to get on the waiting list, and we will sign you up. It's free of charge. You do get a big manual, book of materials, lots of good stuff. So our office number to register is 715-421-8437.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it one more time. 421-8437.
We'll also mention the extension website, extension.wisc.edu. Extension.wisc.edu is a great resource as well. Always greatly appreciate the conversation with you, Jackie. The only problem is we never have enough time. You and I could keep talking for another half an hour here and everything, but we got to let Kristen get in here and do her thing.
Okay.
Thank you, though, so much for the time and everything you do in the community. Appreciate you, Jackie. Looking forward to talking again real soon.
Thanks.
We will wrap up Morning Magazine for the week tomorrow. We're looking forward to welcoming in our studio, Amy Vetter with the ADRC. Always a good time to talk with them. And Wisconsin Rapid Public Schools Superintendent Craig Braun going to join us, along with Tina Miller, principal of Howe University, and Justin Weinhold, physical education teacher over at Howe. That's how we'll wrap up the week of Morning Magazine tomorrow's show. Stick around for more great locally grown radio right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.